This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Just off Route 103 in Chester, turning onto Thompson Road and crossing the small bridge over the Williams River, you come upon the old farmhouse and barn buildings that make up Jersey Girls Dairy. The farm comes by its name as honestly as one can. Lisa Kamen, the owner and operator for the past 20 years, is originally from New Jersey, and she tends a herd of Jerseys. VPR's Rick Singeri recently visited the farm to learn about its operation and to hear about some of the struggles that one small dairy faces.
He gets excited when he thinks I'm doing something.
My farm is completely set up around animal comfort and animal behavior. And it's set up to be within the cow's natural behaviors, which is super helpful because I don't have to fight with them or shock them or do anything like that to get them to do what I want. It's set up in a way that they don't mind doing it, so they're fine with it.
What are the natural behaviors of cows?
There's a ton of them. First of all, they're social animals. It's a herd system. So I let them do their natural herd behaviors. When we go in the barn, you'll see I don't have any stalls. It's a bedded pack system, so they don't have to stuff themselves in a little stall to try to sleep. Cows don't sleep like that. They rest and chew their cud all curled up like that, but that's not how they sleep. They sleep flat up. They sleep upside down, their legs sticking up in the air. Sometimes you go in there and you're like, oh my God, she's dead, you know, and you walk up to her and she's like, I'm like, oh God. I don't have foot or leg problems. I don't have lameness. I don't have any of that. They're not on concrete 24/7. They are on concrete in certain places where they have to be. They almost always have choice to be inside or outside, except for bad weather or icy or something like that. And generally, if they have a choice of inside, outside, they choose outside.
How many do you have?
We milk between 20 and 25. Fluctuates a little bit up and down. Just started a small beef herd with Jersey Wagyu crosses. Try that, see how that comes out. So this is the milk house. This is where all the equipment is stored in the bulk tank. The pumps to pump the milk out to the cheese makers. We pump it into 10-gallon milk cans in the back of a pickup truck. And they take it back to their place and make cheese out of it.
Who is your cheesemaker?
Right now we sell all our milk to Woodcock Farm in Weston. It's actually a sheep dairy, but most sheep and goat dairies also do a cow milk cheese because obviously they milk you around and make a lot more milk than a sheep or a goat. Come in here. This is our processing room. We sell raw milk bottled, and we also pasteurize our milk and bottle it and sell that.
Why'd you pick Jerseys for your herd?
I'm all about quality over quantity, and Jerseys, one, they're smaller, and they have a lot of personality. Jerseys are curious, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because they get their heads stuck in really funny places, and you have to go get them out. Also, Jerseys are very good grazers, and I definitely wanted to rotationally graze, which is the best thing environmentally for the land, for the air, for the water, for the cow, for the product, for the consumer. There's just nothing but a win-win in grazing. So this is the milking parlor. And like I was saying, the whole barn setup is set up for cow comfort and cow behavior. They don't mind going up. But downhills, they don't like down because their eyes are on the sides of their heads and their depth perception is double. So any down step looks double to them. Yeah. That's why pit parlors with the big pit in the middle of where the cows are, that looks like a cavern to them. They hate going in there because that looks like an endless hole. If you've ever been in a tie stall barn with the gutters and they can see the gutters, they jump them because that looks like a huge hole to them. It doesn't look like the little 6-inch thing it looks like to us. So you'll see all my downwards are graded. It's several steps to get down, so they don't have to worry about a big downward fall, which is only in their minds, not in reality. And then after they milk, they go right out to fresh feed, and they know that there's fresh feed out here after every milking, so they come through good because they want to get to the other side. I also grain them after milking So I don't have to push them. I don't have to fight with them. They want to come through because they know what's on the other side. As you can see, it's a pack system with sawdust. It's comfy. I let it build up over the winter, which the bottom starts to degrade, so it creates heat. They love it. They bed right down and just go to sleep. And like I said, they don't have to stuff themselves into little stalls. They have cow scratcher. They love their cow scratcher. Access to water and food and minerals. They have free choice minerals. It's not all mixed into a TMR, total mixed ration, which is what most people feed cows, because what one cow needs, another cow doesn't necessarily need. So I let them balance themselves. It's a cow. She knows how to balance herself better than I do. I'm not a cow. I'm not going to presume I know what each one of them need. I know they need access to this, that, and the other thing. So they have access and they take what they need.
You mentioned something that needs a bit more explaining. Yeah. The cow scratcher. Tell us about that.
See that thing on the wall, the brushes with the big spring? It's a cow scratcher. They get itchy, especially in the spring when they're trying to shed out their winter coats. If you come in the morning, underneath that cow scratcher will be this huge pile of hair every morning because they go under there and scratch themselves. Cows that are really close to calving, it's just like anybody else getting ready to give birth. They're grumpy, they're hormonal, they're uncomfortable, and they'll just go to town on that thing, soothing themselves. See the little on-farm store we got?
Yeah. Who did the artwork?
That is Jamie Townsend from Springfield. See the little mural on the side of the barn? That's me milking a cow.
Pig over here.
He's done all the murals and painted up my two milk trucks, too. I have two milk trucks that we take to farmers markets and stuff like that, and he painted them.
Wow.
Yeah, they're great. So here's our little on-farm store. So we have a great cook. Her name is Carol. She's been cooking for me for at least 10 years. And she loves cooking with all our products. So we've created a whole comfort food line with all our products. Yep. So we have three local meat chili, which has three of our meats in it, including two kinds of the veal sausage. And it actually won awards at the Ludlow Chili Contest a couple years. Our macaroni and cheese. Just all kinds of stuff. We make quiches. Our quiches are great because it's our eggs, our milk, our cheeses, local vegetables. People love them. They're frozen. You throw them in the oven frozen. You don't even have to thaw them, and you're done. Those are a huge hit. More meat. Then this is all the dairy. The butter, our butter's really good. The quark cheese. We are also doing a cheese with Crowley right now, which is in Mount Holly, Crowley Cheese Company. They're doing a special cheese just using our milk. When I started milking, I was shipping my milk to a co-op, like everybody does, and quickly realized that every time that milk truck left my dooryard, I lost money. So, you know, you go to the state, you go to Extension, you go to the agency and say, you know, what's your recommendation? And for years, they've been toting diversify and make value-added products in order for small dairies to survive. That's what they've been pushing for years. So I started in that direction, started actually selling my milk to cheesemakers, which, by the way, is brilliant. The cheesemakers pay premium for the milk because the milk that they need to make good cheese is the milk I'm producing. No silage feed, no fermented feeds, because fermented feeds in the milk makes cheese gassy. Grass-based also makes a better tasting cheese, better quality. So that worked great. Also started raising all my bull calves for veal. Never could ship them anyway because I don't like what happens to them when you ship them. So I had customers, milk customers and egg customers, asking for cruelty-free veal because they love veal but didn't want to eat the conventionally raised veal, which I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. So I started doing that, and then I started selling actually whole veal to restaurants that also wanted to serve it without having to buy the commodity veal. Then we branched out and developed four veal sausages. It has no pork fat in it. It's all our ingredients. We use local mustard in one of them. We use local garlic in another one. We use local hot peppers in our hot one. So we also support other farms by making these value-added products. On the dairy side, value-added's a little tougher. If you're not making a high-end cheese, we bottle milk, we make butter and a soft cheese called quark. but you're up against a lot of struggles. You're up against a lot of cheap dairy. There's just cheap dairy everywhere. And shelf life. Dairy, it's a fresh product. You got a small amount of time to move it, and it is quite a struggle. The regulatory side of it is also obviously a struggle. The cost, it costs just as much to build a small processing plant as it does a big one. It's a huge, huge money investment, and you're not going to make that back. Sorry.
Well, let's talk about the regulations, because you've mentioned that a couple times, that the regulatory process really makes it difficult for you. In what way?
A lot of it is time. I mean, it took over 2 years to be able to actually process and sell my own milk. It's a long process. It's onerous. I think some of the regulations have let up a little bit. Some of them have not, that are kind of ridiculous on a small scale. Like, you have to have a bathroom for the inspector. No one else can use this bathroom. They can't come in your house and use the bathroom. You have to have a bathroom separate for the inspector. And when you're a small-scale dairy, most small-scale dairies don't have a bathroom in the barn. And even if you did, you'd have to make another bathroom. It couldn't be one that employees use, nothing. It has to be a bathroom for the inspector. That was a huge hurdle. Huge.
What could the Ag Department do to help small-scale dairy in the state?
Well, they could actually do some of the stuff that every election cycle they claim they're going to do, like take the transportation burden off the dairy farms, because the charges to ship your milk wherever it's going comes right out of your milk check. The dairy farms pay that. Processing plants do not pay the shipping on milk. It's all on the farmer. You have no say in the price they take out. You have no negotiation power for how much it's costing. If the fuel price goes up, they do a fuel surcharge price to make up for that, and it comes right out of your check. You have no say. However, I have noticed that when the fuel price goes back down, the charge for the shipping does not go back down. Constantly, you hear politicians talk about getting the shipping charges off the dairy farms and onto the processors, who make all the money anyway. Not to mention, you have no say in the price you get for your milk. So by me selling directly to cheesemakers, I have kind of negotiated my way around all those problems, which is great, because I wouldn't still be here. There would be no way to survive, no way at all.
From what you're telling me, this sounds like a very difficult life, a very difficult business. So why are you still doing it after 20 years?
Well, farming is a difficult life anyway. Anyone who thinks they're going to get into farming and like sit around eating bonbons and watching soap operas has another thing coming. But it's just who you are. It's what you are. Like, this is what I do. When I'm not milking cows, I'm dreaming about milking cows. I love it. The cows are amazing. I have a rapport with them. We have a relationship. It's who you are. And it's already difficult. You know, you're fighting weather and illness and calving and markets. And it is. It's totally a lot. But I think that the state of Vermont could do so much more to kind of ease that burden. And it seems at every turn that they talk about easing that burden, they turn around and make it harder.
That was Lisa Kamen, who has owned and operated Jersey Girls Dairy in Chester for 20 years, speaking with VPR's Rick Singeri.